In America, you have a right to be stupid.
I mean, I do think at a certain point, you've made enough money.
$100 billion, $1 trillion.
Come on!
If you got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Listen to reason.
We're lending money we don't have to kids who will never be able to pay it back, to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore.
My faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy.
We're so focused on getting into the corner office, we forgot how to build a corner office.
There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
Finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
Yes, I am your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Andy Pate with me today as well. Charlie Grimes, your engineer. John Zamir, Extreme.org, joining us now. John, welcome. How are you, sir?
I'm okay, thanks. How are you doing?
We're doing okay here. Be a different day tomorrow, but hey, it is what it is.
Hey, it's the beginning of the Bidenist Occupational Government, or BOG.
So you got an article, Democrats Don't Act Like People with Nothing to Hide.
Oh, all right. I was going to talk about a different. Yeah, that is a good piece to talk about. But I had another one. Let me just quickly sum that one up. Okay.
Sure.
Remember the whole birther controversy when people questioned whether Obama was legally entitled to become president? I don't think that was true. I don't think he has a birth certificate from Kenya. Okay. You know why I don't think it was true? Because he didn't panic over it. He didn't try to have the attorneys who promoted it disbarred. He didn't try to have the FBI investigate anyone who said it. The Democrats didn't try to get everyone banned from social media who talked about it. And they weren't acting like they were guilty of sin. With the stolen election of 2020, they are acting like the mafia, shredding documents and setting fire to their office at the first sight of Rudy Giuliani. So I just think people need to remember that. The way the Democrats are panicking kind of suggests strongly that they did cheat and they intend to cheat again. And they don't want us to ever talk about ballot fraud. In the past, they could just cry racism. Now, they'll cry sedition. That's what got people killed at the Capitol. You're never allowed to try to get a secure election again because the Capitol riot. So just don't let them gaslight you. When they use that BS, just laugh at them and say, I'm sorry, one rally that went sideways doesn't give you license to steal every American election for the rest of American history.
Agree.
Just say that right out.
Well said.
But then I had another piece I want to talk about. It's called 11 Questions the Left and Never Trumpers Can't Answer Honestly.
Okay.
And what I'm going to do is just pose them briefly, and I hope people read the article and pose them to their friends, okay? First, is ballot fraud on the Democrats' part just okay now? Is it something we can't talk about because the other side will yell racism or sedition? Or is there some statute of limitations when it's happening too soon to talk about it? That's one. Two, what should we tell the one-third to one-half of Americans who question the election? Just shut up or leave the country?
Right.
Should big tech just silence them? Maybe the FBI investigate them? Should they all be fired half the country? Three, why is the U.S. Capitol sacred, but the Wisconsin Capitol wasn't? Leftists occupied it forcibly for more than a month. What about the federal courthouse's Antifa attack? They weren't sacred? Why aren't private homes sacred, like Mark and Patricia McCluskey's home, which they were trying to defend, and they
tried to
send them to prison? All right, next question. Should the left have stopped forever talking about police use of force after Black Lives Matter rallies got 25 Americans killed? So they never, never talk about police brutality again, the way they don't want us to talk about ballot fraud ever again. Next, do you really think it's okay for the FBI to act like a secret police, to bug its political consenters, like the Trump administration, to frame and try to imprison Trump supporters like Mike Flynn and Carter Page, and to walk off scot-free when they get caught lying? Peter Strzok, James Comey, and the rest. Why would they ever stop doing that since none of them got in trouble? Next. Should Kamala Harris be impeached from office after the inauguration? She praised the Black Lives Matter riots long after they got violent. Michelle Obama threatened America during the Democratic National Convention that unless Biden won, the riots would continue and get worse.
Yep.
So is she unfit to have any voice in politics?
Hey, John, let me throw one thing in. She also helped them get bailed out. Let's not keep...
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Add that to it.
So,
yeah.
the same people who say that Newt Gingrich and Trump should be driven out of politics because of the Capitol riots, I guess Michelle Obama shouldn't be in politics either.
Right, good point.
Either or Capitol
Great point.
Or, if they won't say that, is it just because they hold black people to a lower moral standard than white people?
Good question.
Or is it that they're just cowards and they save their spleen for safe targets like Trump, people hated by the social circles into which they're desperately hoping to climb? Just two more. Three more.
Go ahead. You're fine.
Do we really expect Americans to kneel down and act like a bunch of beaten down slaves of a totalitarian system? Or might they be forcing people to drink? They think, who has most of the private firearms in America? Members of which party, do you think? Why would they ever peaceably surrender them, given what they see coming?
Right. They're not, by the way. They're not. That's not happening.
That's right. I'm not.
Nope, me
cold,
neither.
Cold dead fingers, I mean that quite literally. How do we deny that the double standard towards violence amounts to a narco-tyranny? How is it that you let Black Lives Matter and Antifa terrorize people, and then you arrest the people who fight back? How's that any different from letting the Klan go free and busting their victims for fighting back?
Great question.
Going to Jim Crow? And finally, are the left and never Trump just past caring about even the fig leaf of even-handedness and fairness?
Well said. Good article, John. Perfect. I read through those. You're perfect.
Thank you.
Spot on.
Thank you. All right.
Find that at stream.org. John, thanks as always. I appreciate it. Good stuff. And again, folks, those are great questions to ask those never Trumpers in your life or those lefties in your life. Just have them go read that article and answer those questions. They're spot on.
Oh, they are.
Spot on. I forgot about the Michelle Obama part. Even you mentioning the bailout part.
Yeah.
How is that okay?
Oh, my gosh. It's terrible.
I said this the other day to one of the texters that liberal texters that text me quite often, and, I meant it. The left are a bunch of hypocrites.
Totally.
Totally hypocrites. They'll sit there and yell and scream and holler and, call Trump everything under the sun, including, he incited everything that went on at the Capitol, which, by the way, he didn't. I don't believe he did.
No.
And yet they forget about all of their side that literally incited BLM and Antifa all summer long. Literally. Maybe in some cases not in sight, but went along with. I mean, we had the mayor of Seattle talking about how, it's okay if they occupy downtown. It's no big deal until they went to her house.
Yeah.
Right?
That changed things a little bit.
But originally, they're just blowing off some steam. It's okay.
John, tell me, what is bigger incitement? Okay. Claiming that an election was rigged. Gee, I think I got cheated on this election. Okay, well, Gore did that, Clinton did that, Trump did that. All right. Or spending decades telling young black people that they are hated by whites and hunted by cops.
Great point.
What is doing more
Great
to incite
point.
Rage?
Great point. The latter, by the way.
I mean, I got to be honest. If you and I, it has nothing to do with race. You and I are white guys. If we were told from our youth all along that one group hated us and was hunting us, would we be a little bitter?
Of course we would be.
Exactly.
Most definitely. Flesh and Beck is up next. We talked about this at the top of the last hour. Folks, all of our sponsors, they're great people. They're supporting the cause. They're supporting the show because they believe in what we do. And you know what? The little bit we can do is give back to them by using them. So if you've got any legal questions at all, have something going on where you've got an accident, something that's not going right, you need to be represented, call Kevin Flesh today. He'll join me tomorrow for Legal Day. In the meantime, though, 303-806-8886, or find him at fleshlawfirm.com, and that's F-L-E-S-C-H, fleshlawfirm.com.
Take it from KLZ's personal injury attorney. Distracted driving isn't worth the risk. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law has nearly 25 years of experience helping juries understand the true impact of an injury. He knows how to paint the picture in a juror's mind, equipping them to empathize with his client. Take the woman who recently spent 10 months in the hospital, unable to see her family the entire time. The value of her case goes way beyond hospital bills because she will never get back that precious time with her grandchildren. You know the statistics. Driving 60 miles an hour, you travel 88 feet per second. It takes you a second and a half to react, which means you've gone about 40 yards, almost half a football field, before you could even start to respond. Then you factor in how quickly your vehicle can stop. Kevin Flesh does his job well, but no amount of money can recover 100% of what you lose. So put your phone away and drive.
Gino's Auto Service is next. And as I said earlier, if you want to support somebody that's supporting us, get your car fixed at Gino's. And by the way, that's everything from an oil change to you name it. Whatever you need, they can take care of it all. 303-794-6700. That's Gino's with a J, ginosautoservice.com.
Start the new year right by taking advantage of Gino's Napa Legend and AAA Premium Battery Sale. Did you know car batteries typically last just 3 to 5 years? There is no reason to get stuck with a bad battery when you can stop in at Gino's for a free battery check. And while you're there, you can take advantage of Gino's free multi-point inspection. We'll evaluate your vehicle, looking at your fluid levels, belts, hoses, and filters. Gino's is also having a sale on genuine Napa starters and alternators. We are big believers in catching problems before they start, which is why we do our best to make your life easier by offering loaner vehicles so you can drop your car off and pick up when ready. Don't miss a beat this year. Gino's is continuing to service Larry's Automotive customers through Napa Auto Care, warranting any work you may have had done before Larry's closed. Give us a call or go online to schedule an appointment. We're AAA approved and located at Bulls and Platte Canyon. Stop in or visit us online at ginosautoservice.com. That's Gino's with a J.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy and I were just talking through the break. We're laughing a little bit because some of you that are wanting to leave the Republican Party, I liking it to, you don't like the color of your house, so you'll burn it down before painting it because you hate painting so bad. By the way, I feel the pain on the paint. I get it.
I hate painting.
I hate it too. A can of gasoline and a match is much easier. I get that. But then you have no place to live.
Yeah.
It's the same analogy.
And once again, before you get to your text, guys, unless you pull everybody over to your new Patriot Party and draw a bunch of unaffiliateds, and they always say that, oh, the unaffiliateds,
well,
they're open game. No, they're not.
Let's use this analogy. Unless you've got all of them on your team to go help you build the new house, all the carpenters, plumbers, electricians, roofers, and so on, guess what? You're still homeless.
Yeah.
Right?
You're not going to win.
You're not going to get that done.
And I won't go into it here, but we talked about it last week where I walked through the differences between now and the time of the Whigs, because they'll bring that up.
It's
well,
the
Whigs became the Republicans.
It's not the same.
Totally different circumstances.
By the way, here's the other analogy.
What worked then won't work now.
Here's the other analogy.
Yeah.
You're the guy with the can of gas
and
the match getting ready to throw it inside your house. And, oh, by the way, all of your friends that aren't going to help you rebuild your house are outside cheering you on. Burn it down, Andy! Burn it down! You're not going to be anywhere to be found once you burn that house down, but they're sure egging you on.
You know who's really egging you on even more than them? The people who sell the gas and the matches.
Because
they're getting clicks. They're getting clicks on their website.
Good one, Andy.
Where you express the rage.
Perfect.
Okay, let's hear a text.
All right, so I got a text message that came in. I said I would answer this on air. And by the way, thank you for all the text messages. I do appreciate it. So given that I will no longer shop with Kohl's or BBB, where the heck do we go? The market is dominated by Walmart and Amazon. I plan on dropping my Amazon Prime based on the parlor censorship and have dumped one or two of my Twitter accounts. I agree with your direction, but at some point I'm going to run out of options. Now, here's my answer. I've not dumped my Amazon Prime. Why? Because, frankly, there's so many things there that I need, even business-wise, that really I don't know where else you'd go to buy the things that I need on that quick of a basis to get done. Second of all, a lot of the things that I buy are either just fulfilled by Amazon, but are sold through a vendor through Amazon that, by the way, maybe somebody like you or I mean, we don't know all the different vendors on Amazon, what their political beliefs are, what their background is, whether they're Muslim, Christian, Buddhist, Jehovah's Witness. I don't know. I don't know what their background is, but I do know this. They're small businessmen and women.
Yeah.
And they're trying to survive everything that's going on right now. Amazon does not make, market, and sell every single thing on their site. A lot of what's sold on Amazon is done through, quote unquote, third-party sellers. Amazon's just fulfilling the order.
True.
They're the tool to get that product to market.
Right.
You were going to kill them at the same time by killing your Amazon Prime membership?
No. And by the way, eventually I will kill my Amazon Prime membership. Eventually.
Only if something better comes along.
Bingo. Let me give you a two-part answer really quick from me. Number one, Not right away, because this just happened, and we need a little time for some conservative to put together any kind of equivalent to Amazon Prime, which somebody should. Okay, it could happen. The market for it, your texter, represents millions of people who want to do that. Secondly, you and I have talked about this before. I'm not into hard boycotts.
Well,
I'm into soft boycotts. Okay, I don't want people who are listening to us right now destroying their lives saying that they won't go to any of these places. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to go to Kohl's or Bed Bath anymore, period. And I was a regular shopper at those, so they just lost me.
Right.
But there are other places I can go. There are good. I'm not going to absolutely ruin my lifestyle to do this. But you don't have to, folks. If you simply say, hey, you know what? If I can get something, you know, my coffee at a place that isn't Starbucks and it's comparable, then why not do that?
And likewise with Amazon. If you can buy from somebody local and they've got the product you need, I'm all for buying local if you can figure out how to make that happen. There's just times where that's not feasible. That doesn't work.
There are times when that's not feasible. Understand also, folks, be a little patient. Amazon has been doing the shipping thing for zillions of years. A lot of these people are getting new at it. And so, you know, my wife, she didn't want to deal with Amazon because of what they did.
Mm-hmm.
So she went through JCPenney's. Okay, it's taking longer to get the stuff. They don't have it up and running yet. They're not used to it yet.
Nope.
Folks, they'll get there,
give it
a few months. Don't panic.
Well, and the other thing I will say, too, real quick about the Parler Amazon thing. I know I talked about this in depth last week, so I don't want to get into too many details. But, folks, I'm just going to say this straight up. Parler is not free of fault here.
No.
Parler did a lot of things that if I would have been in charge of Parler, I would have never done. Number one, I wouldn't have been on an Amazon server to begin with.
Correct.
Furthermore, I would have the right kind of programmers around and have things done correctly. Because right now, just as a side note, this whole Parler thing is a you-know-what show.
It is.
It's awful. These guys don't have the foggiest idea what they're doing.
Hey, really quick, rule of business. You never have a second chance to make a
first impression.
Right. Parler rolled their thing out piece by piece by piece, and they were
awful.
Like getting better at it as they went along.
They did awful.
Folks, you lose a lot of people early on doing that.
They did awful. And for them to not have had a secondary backup plan and have things ready to go on their own, I just find that defenseless. Sorry, you can't defend that. They screwed up.
Especially for a political they are a political site in a lot of ways.
Here's what I think happened with Parler.
I mean, not literally, but
And by the way, and I respect the people that are there. I just don't think they're very wise in how they did things. Here's the mistake they made. I don't think they really felt, Charlie and I talked about this last week some, I don't think they ever felt the thing was really going to take off. I think they kind of threw up there thinking, oh, you know, we'll get a few conservatives that'll come along, that'll use it. I don't think they ever anticipated the thing blowing up. So in their defense, this is where it is defendable. I don't think they ever thought it would blow up into what it did.
Right. They didn't gauge the market. They didn't understand. They were tapping into rage. Okay.
They had no idea of that.
Rage can drive millions of people to come buy your stuff.
And it did.
Yeah.
It literally shoved millions of users onto their site. And Amazon had the ability to fulfill all of that user, you know, bandwidth and everything they had going on there. Would somebody else have been able to do that? I really don't have an answer to that. But, you know, keep in mind, and I know a lot of you may not agree with what I'm going to say next, but I've read some of the posts that were on Parler that Amazon is, you know, basically saying you violated terms of service by allowing X to be up. And frankly, they did.
Well, they were very violent posts. Some were.
Some of them probably should have been not censored, but, you know.
Yeah, but here's what
handled differently.
Totally agree. But here's, and I've always said, you know, Amazon has the right to sell to who they want to sell to. We always agreed on that. My problem is this. They also allowed Black Lives Matter banners and
not
stuff.
And
even gave it away for free.
Yeah, they're inconsistent.
Right.
Well said. I can't
just
argue that either. They're very inconsistent. But. You had to have known on Parler's end heading into that. You had to have been able to look at the crystal ball a little bit and say, wait a minute, here's where we're at. Here's where we're headed. Here's what potentially could happen if we don't take a few steps and measures in a particular direction. And lastly, to not have a backup plan as to what would happen if you lose your first plan of action.
Exactly.
Not smart.
Well, yeah. And by the way, John, you and I would not be asking Parler to limit speech. We'd ask them to employ standards. So when you tell people, no violence or pornography and stuff like this, you're not limiting speech.
No.
You're limiting how they can bring it to you.
You set a standard is what you did, and you make sure people abide by the standard.
And set it across the board. So anybody who gets violent in Parler, you toss them.
But here's the problem. We learned this yesterday from the interview I had in the 5:30 mark yesterday. Here's the problem. There's not enough manpower to do what we just said on any of the platforms. It doesn't exist. It's not there. Now, what Facebook has done is they've used some algorithms, and they have purposely, I believe, targeted conservative groups and let other things just slide by. But the fact of the matter is there's just not enough sheer manpower to even do what needs to be done when it comes to what we're talking about.
Let's close with this. I just want to ask you a question. Do you think it would be a good law for Congress to pass? Not this Congress. They'll never do it.
Mm-hmm.
But that simply says if you are a platform, you're not a publisher, you're not, if you are a platform, your algorithms must be completely politics free. In other words,
I'd go one step further, Andy, and must be published.
Absolutely.
So not only are your algorithms need to be the way you just said, but one step further, they need to be seen. What does the algorithm look like?
Yeah. What is
How
it
are
search-
you doing this?
What is because
That's
an
right.
algorithm is a search and destroy.
That's right.
So what's it searching and
That's
what's it
right.
destroying? We want to know.
That's exactly right. Brad in Lakewood, you'll be up here before our break. What's going on, sir?
Yeah, you were talking about whether we should destroy the party of work within. I'm in a local group, and we changed locations last week. We went to a local small place that would just have some coffee and not wear a face mask, and that topic did come up. Now, most people seem to think we should just get involved on the local level, school board, city council, mm-hmm. things of that
yes.
nature.
Yes, good stuff.
Great idea.
Attend city council meetings, but I did bring up the point that libertarians have been running in major races for over 40 years with a grand total of zero victories, but then I personally think the election was stolen. I give money to Massey. Massey votes to certify it, so I basically told him, I think in a lot of ways, either way we lose. Because the GOP establishment, we tried to get involved with Tea Party candidates. They stole from Chris McDaniel, Mississippi, 2014. They stole from Joe Miller, 2010, Alaska. So even when we try to get involved, which I think and take over the party, which I think we should do, we got our work cut out ahead of us.
Well, and I go back to, Brad, what I said earlier, to Andy, something that I've never seen our party do. What are our main, top 2-3 goals when it comes to reestablishing the party, and what are we trying to do? And by the way, don't tell me it's, as much as I am a right-to-life individual, don't tell me it's about abortion. Tell me what we're going to do as a party moving forward. Because to me, the abortion thing's a given. Everybody should feel that way. I don't think that should have to be a party platform.
Well,
so outside of that, what are we as a party going to do?
Well, I'd like to see them work on the deficit, because one day this country is going to collapse.
Can't argue that one.
And we should do something about...
But Brad, here's the problem with that. That doesn't... As much as you and I and Andy all agree on that, by the way, and I'm a big one. You hear me talk about that constantly. That doesn't sell. So
no,
give me
doesn't.
Something that sells. Deficit doesn't sell. It doesn't sell to the next generation, Brad. Even though they're the ones paying for it, it doesn't sell. So give me something else that sells.
Can I throw something in here?
Go for it.
Also, Brad... I mean, I know we can always bring up the examples of we try to get this person out, that person out, and so forth, and when they're corrupt. But we also win an awful lot. Let me say two words, Lauren Boebert.
Yeah, well, we won a lot this year.
We won a lot.
We gained House seats, guys.
We gained
a bunch of House seats.
We also tossed out some moderates in our party
who,
quite honestly, I don't mind if you're moderate. I think that's great. But just be a team player who weren't team players, and we got rid of them.
And I know we got to go to break, Brad, but what I'm going to leave you with is, ask those folks around you. Again, we've got to sell to the masses. And as much as I agree with you that working on the deficit is a big deal, that doesn't sell. So give me some things that sell. Give me the top three things that sell.
Well, you got me stumped on there. I agree with you, but that would be a good topic to bring up at our meeting. We're going to have a meeting Saturday, and I will bring up that issue.
Appreciate it.
Another superstar is Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yes, agree. Yeah, we've done well. So, Brad, I'll let you go. No, we've done well. So there is a lot to be looking at in a very thankful manner, But again, I go back to, and maybe Brad will come back with some answers here in a week or two. And I think every party, you know, should, or every group like Brad should be asking those questions.
I'd love to speak at his group.
we can probably arrange that. Affordable Interest Mortgage, folks, is next. Kurt Rogers, he'd love to help you out with your mortgage needs. And don't forget, if you're self-employed, Kurt's the place to go. He understands self-employed individuals and can help you with your mortgage needs. 720-895-0500. Again, that's Kurt Rogers, Affordable Interest Mortgage.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where our reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
A good shop, folks, and hey, you know, things happen. Accidents happen. That's why they're called accidents. And it could be your fault, could be somebody else's fault, but the bottom line is an accident happened and you need your vehicle fixed. Well, we've got a place that can do that and bring it back to your original specifications, if not higher than it was original. And I can get in all the details of what that means, but just trust me, bottom line is a good shop will bring it back to where it was originally or better. Go to klzradio.com to find a location that's closest to you or call 720-541-7697.
After a collision, you want to take your vehicle to a certified shop that specializes in auto body work. Al Sturm and his team at a good shop hear from a lot of people who think you need to go back to the dealership for auto body work. But just like John Rush has been telling you, many dealerships don't even do auto body work. Dealerships focus on sales. So in some cases, they don't even have the certifications and equipment required for quality collision repair. Al used to work for the dealerships before founding a good shop in North Glen in Commerce City. So he knows from experience that many dealerships farm your vehicle out to some other shop where you have no control over the process. You're just a number to them. That's why Al and his team at a good shop are proud to run an independent, certified collision repair center where they specialize in auto body work. Schedule an estimate with a good shop now at klzradio.com/collision. Certified collision repair, worth referring.
Hey folks, I know that some of you are thinking it's my roof, it's cold outside, I'll wait till spring to get some things done. Well, I tell you what, we had warm enough weather even today where Dave Hart can come out, he can inspect your roof, and hey, if need be, even a day like today, he could actually rejuvenate your roof, spray your roof, rejuvenate it. And, you know, Dave's been doing this at long enough now to where he knows exactly what roofs qualify, what they take, what they don't take, and what he can do for you. And even in this cooler weather, your roof can be sprayed, rejuvenated, and be ready for this spring. It's really easy. Give them a call. Give a free roof inspection now. 303-710-6916. Again, 303-710-6916.
Roof Max in South Aurora keeps your roof going strong with roof rejuvenation. Modern asphalt shingles are manufactured with less oil than they used to be, so they dry out sooner, leaving them brittle and unable to expand and contract with the extreme temperature swings. Especially here on the Front Range, where your roof handles high elevation sun, UV exposure, and severe spring and summertime storms, along with more than twice the national average snowfall, your shingles wear out even faster. Roof rejuvenation with Roof Max could save you up to 85%. Just one application of their all-natural bio oil immediately adds 5 years to your roof, guaranteed. With up to three applications every 5 years, Roof Max could help your roof last 15 years longer. Save thousands of dollars by extending the life of your roof instead of replacing it. Call Dave Hart with Roof Max in South Aurora now at 303-710-6916.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter @RushToReason and on Facebook.com/RushToReason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy, and Charlie. Liz Mayer joining us now. Liz, welcome. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, we're doing well. So how's your week going here? We got a big day tomorrow, I assume.
Yeah, very big day, it seems. I'm glad that I'm not in Washington, D.C. for this, and we'll just be watching it on TV, much as you guys will. It definitely looks like quite the scene down there.
Lots of flags, I noticed.
All sorts. I mean, I think that they're obviously not going to have people out on the mall the way that they normally would, but I expect that still you're going to have, you know, protesters and counter-protesters, and you obviously have a large number of National Guard troops and others deployed. I think it's going to be one way or another a spectacle. It'll be an inauguration unlike anything we've ever seen before, for better or for worse, right?
Liz, isn't it kind of insulting the way they're basically preparing for us conservatives to go wild and trash the city?
I don't know if I would necessarily say it's insulting. I think that, you know, after a lot of the experience that cities had over the summer, people have realized that if you end up having clashes between different sets of protesters, which can happen really easily, things can get out of hand very, very quickly. And I don't think D.C. necessarily saw that to quite the extent that some other places did. I mean, I know some friends who live down around Charlotte who felt that it was really, really bad there. But, you know, of course, they've got to be attuned to the possibility that things could spiral like that. You know, what I will say is that, you know, these comments that I think it was Congressman Cohen from Tennessee made, you know, sort of about, oh, probably only 20% of the people who are in the armed services and in the National Guard, you know, even voted for Joe Biden, so they can't be trusted to keep the peace, that kind of thing. That's what I find really bothersome here because, you know, first of all, I think it's ridiculous.
Yep.
It's ridiculous to assume that people who didn't vote for Joe Biden, whether they voted for Donald Trump or third party or wrote in or whatever they did or didn't vote at all, you know, that they wouldn't be interested in keeping the peace. I mean, ultimately,
well besides the fact, Liz, they've all taken an oath. I mean, those guys are servicemen and women. They've taken an oath, and basically we're basically shortchanging those guys and essentially calling them liars and hypocrites when we say something like that.
Well, correct. Plus, I also think if that's really the view that you're putting out there, you're telling people who maybe are worried about the peace being kept during inauguration, people who live in the city, you know, you're suggesting that they can't trust the people that they're simultaneously being asked to trust. And I think that's a very difficult thing to do. So, I don't think that that's responsible at all.
Yeah, it's wrong. It's not a difficult thing. It's just flat out wrong, Liz.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be doing that.
No, I think that's right. I think he's obviously casting aspersions on, you know, a number of people who don't agree with him politically, which is wrong in and of itself. But yes, as you say, I mean, these guys took an oath. And I think we saw, you know, with the Capitol Police, once the Capitol Police were really engaged and on the scene, you know, I guess we're only talking about last week at this point. It feels like it's been about a month at this point, the way that things move in these news cycles.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you saw a lot of Capitol Police who, I used to work on Capitol Hill. I've encountered these guys. Generally speaking, they're fairly conservative guys. I'm pretty sure a lot of them voted for Donald Trump. But, you know, these were the people who were saying, you know, I was willing to get smashed in a door to keep people from attacking the vice president, and I do it all over again. So, you know, I think that really tells people what they need to know. So, you know, hopefully he will apologize for those remarks and walk them back. I think that that's exactly the kind of rhetoric we don't need at this particular juncture. But hopefully we're going to have less of that tomorrow, and hopefully we can, you know, get on with, you know, if Biden's going to make a genuine attempt to unify people, hopefully we can get on with that at least for 24 hours and then see what comes after.
Let's not forget, too, that when Trump was inaugurated, there was all sorts of rioting and burning in the streets.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Which the Democrats don't want to recognize ever.
No, people forget that. I mean, I actually was commentating for a British TV station that day, and I was down doing commentary from very, very close to the Capitol and had to be, you know, ferried back in an SUV, as they do. And we got stopped at one point, not right by the Capitol, not by everything that was directly going on, but near one of the main thoroughfares through Washington, D.C. And this was at a point when you did have Antifa guys who were, you know, bundling bricks and lighting things on fire and whatnot. And, you know, at the end of the day, I guess having grown up partially in Seattle with our propensity for doing things like really violent WTO protests, it didn't totally faze me, but I did sort of think, you know, obviously what you want in that situation is for traffic to keep moving. And we did have a moment where it stalled out. And, you know, obviously you could see that a lot of people in cars surrounding me who hadn't experienced that kind of thing before were genuinely very worried about it. So, you know, the problem with this is that I think we've reached a sort of boiling point in the country where we have not a large number of people on, you know, different ends of the political spectrum, but still just enough people who are willing to get really violent and really in other people's faces. And we had that in 2017, and we had it last week at the Capitol, and we're probably going to keep having it. And I just hope that at some point we can move past this and, you know, get back to some sense of normalcy where we're complaining about Mitch McConnell being an obstructionist or something, as opposed to, you know, people literally trying to kill each other, you know, because I think that is kind of what we've reached. And it's not a good place for the
country.
And
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I don't see that day coming.
Yeah, Liz, do we really look at someone like Joe Biden as presenting some sort of unity thing when he's comparing people to bin Laden and Hitler?
Probably he should refrain from doing that kind of thing. I do think as Democrats
just a smidge.
Yeah, I mean, I think as Democrats go at this point, he is more capable of being unifying than I think a lot of other people are. But, you know, that's the problem. That's one of the problems we saw over the summer, right, was you had peaceful protests and then you had people get involved in rioting. And Joe Biden could come out and condemn the rioting as much as he wanted to, and he did. But those people aren't really listening to Joe Biden. Those people are listening much more, I would say, to people like Bernie Sanders and AOC. And so I think that's one of the big limitations on his potential to be unifying that we may uncover here is, you know, at the end of the day, like some of the people, 50% of the people who really need to hear that message of calming down and tamping down and behaving themselves and trying to be more civilized, I just don't know if they're actually listening to the guy who's even trying to deliver that message. And so that could be really problematic going forward. I mean, I certainly said last summer when this was going on, and, you know, as I mentioned, people in Charlotte that I knew were particularly upset about it, you know, people were saying, oh, Biden needs to call this out. And I was like, well, that's fine. But who really needs to call it really is Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders needs to go out and tell people to knock it off because, you know, these guys who are inclined to do things like the WTO protests, they are hard left. These people are not people who voted for Joe Biden in the primaries. They're people who like the, you know, the Democratic Socialist moniker. So,
well, Liz, but these kind of calming messages and peaceful and this kind of stuff, it only works if you say it to both sides. He never said it to BLM when they were going out of control. He never said it to Antifa when they were going out of control. He's never said it to unions when they rampaged out of control. He only is calling for calm and peace from Trump supporters. I don't see how that does anything but make them more angry.
But stir the pot. Yeah, it doesn't help.
I would honestly look at Joe and say, Joe, if you're going to keep doing it the way you've been doing it, just shut up. Don't say anything about
peace.
Leave
it alone.
Don't mention peace. Don't mention unity. Please, you're only angering one side because they're the only ones you're talking to.
Well, I think he did say that with regard to the BLM protesters. With regard to Antifa, again, I mean, you can say whatever you want to Antifa, but I don't think that Joe Biden is the messenger that they're interested in hearing it from. So, you know, I'm not sure anything he was going to say was actually going to have effect there.
No, but to Andy's point, yeah, you know, Liz, you've got to at least give lip service, even if that's all it is, even if you're trying to, you know, appease the right and try to bring them in, which I'm not sure that's even possible when it comes to the, you know, the Trump supporters that are out there. But, you know, the bottom line is you can't avoid what Andy just said and completely talk to one side. That's like having two kids in your family. Both are misbehaving, yet you only discipline one and not the other. You and I both know as parents that doesn't work.
I think that's true, but I would also say that part of the reason, there are things that he said last summer, but I think that seems so.
But you have to say them again now. I mean, again, we're talking about parenting, which really that's what this is. I mean, bottom line is that's what he has to do right now, and we're talking about that even as kids. You know, when you have kids in your family, if you said something to one kid 6 months ago, you can't just not say it again. You've got to re-say it today.
And also, the way he structured things last summer when he finally spoke up, he put it as lightly as he could. He waited as long as he could to say anything. The second this thing happened on that Wednesday on 1/6, he basically treated Trump supporters like they were the Nazi youth. I mean, and he went, he said things in as heavy and cataclysmic terms as he possibly could right out of the gate. He didn't treat him equally. It wasn't even close.
Well, I think that there's also an argument that you can make about the difference in effect and what was actually going on there. I mean, I have lots of issues with Antifa, clearly, and have been, you know, sitting there in a car on the street as they were busy torching things and attacking the police. However, they didn't try to lynch the vice president. And I do think that that's something, you know, when we're talking about degree of severity, that is something that probably does explain a little bit the difference in tone. Now, your point as to unions and where he's been willing to condemn unions getting out of hand, I mean, Joe Biden is a very union-friendly guy, and he got someplace where I would actually say, historically, there's probably more of a point to be made there. But, you know, thankfully, at this present moment, that's not the sort of sector of society that we're seeing getting out of hand. So, you know, at least we don't have that on our plate on top of everything else.
I agree.
But yeah, I, to your point, I mean, I don't know to what degree sort of unification and reconciliation and all of these things really are possible right now. We may be in a place where, you know, I worry as a country that we may just go through all of this for a few years. I mean, I wasn't alive in 1968, but people that I know who were have said that this looks a lot like this. And that wasn't like a 6-month period where everything spun.
It lasted a while. I was young, but I remember those days. Yes, you are correct.
Right. So, you know, so we may be in that kind of situation. I hope not, but I can also see historically how that would be possible.
All right, Liz, I'll leave you with that. Well said. Appreciate it very much. We'll talk next week after all this is said and done. Enjoy your evening. Novus Auto Glass is up next, folks. And if you need something done with your windshield, either a crack, a chip repair, or the complete assembly replace, they can do that. And on top of that, calibrate the windshield if you've got those types of systems on your car where it's needed. They can do all of it, one-stop shopping, and they work with your insurance company as well. It's rushtoreason.com/Novus. Novus is N-O-V-U-S.
Take control of the process with Novus Auto Glass. Insurance companies want you to use one of their recommended shops so they get a discount. John Rush endorses Novus Auto Glass because he trusts the quality of their work. In today's modern car, your windshield has become a structural component of your vehicle. Unlike in classic cars, where your windshield was just something to look through, today's windshields bear pressure as part of the frame. Your windshield has become a safety feature of your vehicle, so quality repairs matter. With every repair or replacement, Novus Auto Glass records detailed specs, including the temperature outside, the serial number of the vehicle, and the type of urethane they use, so you can have confidence that your windshield won't pop out at the wrong moment. Instead of letting your insurance company choose the cheapest option, take control of the quality with the inventors of windshield repair. Find Novus Auto Glass now at rushtoreason.com.
Extreme Auto Repair is next, folks, and they want to make sure your vehicle's in top working order at all times. And we talk to them on a routine basis, and literally, they want to keep your vehicle lasting as long as possible, which saves you money, and that's what they do. Find them at klzradio.com. They're in Parker, close by, 303-841-1071.
The team at Extreme Auto Repair doesn't normally let their customers drive loaner vehicles to California, but they do keep their promises. It was right before Thanksgiving, and they had promised a customer he'd have his minivan back in time for his upcoming road trip. But they ran into an unexpected issue and had to order a new part, which wasn't going to arrive in time. He needed to get going, and they still had his car taken apart back in their service bays. Sean, Mike, Dave, and the whole team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker had a quick discussion to figure out how they could still keep their promise. Fortunately, they happened to have a minivan available as a loaner vehicle at the time, so they decided to tell him to take it on his trip. They didn't charge him for mileage, and they made sure he was fully covered so he didn't need to worry. The team at Extreme Auto Repair will always do what they say. Schedule a repair now at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
Choose an agent that represents you, not the insurance company. Call Paul Lenigro and his team at Group Insurance Analysts, an independent insurance broker, for a complimentary analysis of your current insurance plans. 303-423-0162.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. John Rush and Andy Pate here. John, As you know, I love Liz, and she made some fine points. She always does.
She always does. Love her.
She always does. I know I sounded a little tough
there. By the way,
there.
The thing I appreciate about Liz real quick, and I'll just throw this in, Liz, if you're still listening, I do appreciate this, is when I do say something where I think maybe she's not seeing the picture quite right, she'll come back and say, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, you're right. That makes sense. I do appreciate that about her.
I do, too. And by the way, as I was saying off air, if more Republicans talk like Liz Mayer, we'd never lose.
We'd be in better shape.
Okay.
I agree.
Here's my concern with Joe Biden, though. You were talking about kids, how you can't treat one different from another, right? Over the summer, when Joe Biden finally, at long last, came out and said, hey, no more violence, he did this after weeks of, and then even several paragraphs of, accommodating them and sympathizing with what they were going through. You've been through this. You've been through that. You've been treated this way. You've been treated that way. I understand. I so understand how you've been through all this. But please don't be violent. Okay? Now, what if you did that with one kid and the other kid you looked at and just said, and compared your other kid to Hitler and Nazi Germany?
You can't do
that. The Ayatollah and people like this, right? Whoever, right? Bin Laden. And you started doing that. That is what he's doing, okay? He spent the summer in every way possible sympathizing with those who were doing the violence.
Right.
And let's keep in mind, the violence, they burned down cities, okay? The violence they did overall versus what happened on this Wednesday, it's nowhere close. And by the way, some of what happened on this Wednesday was spurred on by leftists too.
Right.
Okay.
I agree. What Joe's doing, just real quick,
yeah,
I know
please.
We're running out of time, but what Joe's doing is what a lot of parents make huge mistakes in. Lots of parents make this mistake. They basically put all of their attention on the sibling, or not sibling, on the child that behaves the worst. And the other child, you know, the other children, I should say, hate that parent for doing so.
So the child who behaves the worst, they look at every way to sympathize and reach them because that's the hardest one to reach.
Yep.
And we also have to keep this in mind, too. Joe Biden's a corrupt man.
Okay? He's evil.
He sold our country out to other nations.
That's right.
So basically, he looks at Trump supporters and hates them.
Yes.
And loves the people who rioted this summer. And it shows.
And the reason he hates us is because we stand for the rule of law and he doesn't.
Yes.
Bottom line. Leave it at that. We'll take a break. We'll come right back. Purifoy Chevrolet is coming up next. Rolly Purifoy, great place to buy a car. I said this earlier. Would you not want to buy a car, even if it's a used car, from somebody that thinks like you versus all of the other big names in town where you have no idea what their agenda is? Go out to Purifoy Chevrolet in Fort Lupton. It's worth the drive. Find them at purifoychevrolet.com, 303-659-8311.
If you haven't walked through the Chevrolet showroom at Purifoy, it's a really fun experience. There's a guest book at the entrance, and you look through there. It's actually become sort of a vacation destination for Chevrolet enthusiasts who've come from other countries just to walk around and look at these gorgeous cars and purchase a vehicle. You know, you think of Fort Lupton as a small town, and it does have that small town personable feel, but the facilities at Purifoy Chevrolet are really stunning.
You know, I've had the chance to spend time with Rolly Purifoy, and he's such a genuine man. He is willing to do anything at that dealership. And in fact, we have seen him doing anything, washing windows, cleaning a floor, redoing the whole Corvette showroom. That's just who he is. He's a guy that is not afraid to get his hands dirty, to do the work. He's more of a servant leader than he is the leader that says, you got to go do this. So that makes me want to buy a car at Purifoy Chevrolet, and that should make you want to buy a car there too.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purifoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purifoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
All right, well, at least in other positive news, we will have the first transgendered man to be Secretary of Health moving forward.
You know, it's about time. I have been waiting my whole life for this. You know, I can die now. I'm good.
If you didn't laugh, you'd cry because it's just so comical what they're trying. I mean, they're literally just going out there trying to be, I think, as outlandish as they can just to shove it in the face of conservatives to say, oh, we'll put this person as a Secretary of Health.
True.
Trust me. That's how I see it. This is not a qualification thing. This is a let's poke the Republicans in the eye thing.
Well, yeah, agree? Let's poke the Christians in the
eye. Yeah, especially them. Let's just go poke them in the eye. That's all this is.
Oh, yeah.
So back to our unity thing a moment ago by Liz. This just shows you they don't care anything about that.
No. It's one of the examples.
You're going to bring, literally, folks, and I'm going to say this. I don't care if people get mad at me for saying this. You're literally going to bring a freak show in as Secretary of Health. That's what it is. Sorry, I don't look at anybody that's transgendered as being mentally capable of handling that type of an office ever. Yes, I said that.
What is the office again?
Secretary of Health.
Okay.
And you're transgendered, which means you're sick in the head in the first place, but you're going to be telling everybody else in the country how to live their lives health-wise. What's wrong with that picture?
I don't know. Look, the bottom line is he's not doing anything to unite anyone in any way, shape, or form, period.
Nope. All right, we'll talk more tomorrow. Health and wellness, speaking of health, will be up first tomorrow. So stay tuned for that. If you missed the first hour, catch it next. Otherwise, we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.